Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 217.
This week on the podcast, Chuck Ludwig and Julianne Simmons from Bad News Live join us in the studio.
And we now know what a week of shackle-free Donald Trump looks like. Answer, exactly the same.
Utah makes a surprise appearance as the most exciting state in the union.
And Glenn Beck doesn't not endorse Hillary Clinton, but he does endorse putting your face in a bowl of Cheetos to look like Donald Trump.
Plus, Trump's millennial strategy is perfect for millennials over age 70.
And America was ready for Ken Bone, but Ken Bone wasn't ready for America.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
This week, we had a unique opportunity to have two guests on our show.
Rare. Guys.
Very rare. Who are kind of just as wonky as we are.
Totally.
They do a show called Bad News Live. That's a live show that they put on up in LA where we are.
Yes.
But they also have sort of like a bunch of internet presences
out
there.
Great.
And we had a lot of fun with them. So we hope that you will too. We're just going to cut to that tape right now and go from there. So welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So you guys produce a show that is both a live show and has a sort of online life as well that deals specifically with politics and has a lot of stand-up guests and things like that. What inspired you to start producing this show, and what do you think, I mean, is it something that you think is like specifically like more exciting now that we're in the middle of just like insane town, or is this sort of something that's a long-standing interest of yours?
So we started the show about 3.5 years ago. It was kind of more of a sketch show back then, but also dealing with politics and current events and social issues. And it was a little goofy, and we wanted to do something more serious. And a big inspiration for me growing up was the show Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. Because on Comedy Central back then, all they would show is reruns of that and Half Baked. And that was like, that was the entire opus of Comedy Central at the time. And so I watched a lot of that show, and I really liked the format of comedians talking about issues in a funny way. And you get a lot of different opinions. And I always felt that that's the way you kind of like should experience politics, is through opinions of people. And that's why we do the show. If anything, I feel like the election right now is like almost too much politics. Like, I wish, like, give me a midterm.
The layman world has like descended on politics.
I was just about to say,
farce.
There's so much inherent comedy in it already. It's like, what are you supposed
Trump's
to make fun
gift,
of?
But I don't know if that's true.
That was something I always said about the Bush administration, and I feel like this wasn't I couldn't have predicted this era.
They were like, oh yeah,
we'll show you,
exactly.
Lila.
Yeah, it was about me personally.
It doesn't, Bush at this point seem like really balanced and level-headed?
Yeah. He just seems like in the realm of normalcy, of like political normalcy that, you know, and at the time, like I went to the protests at both of the Bush inaugurations.
Yes.
And I remember feeling like this is the pinnacle of terrible. Like, this is the moment the democracy was lost.
If one of the side effects of having Donald Trump as the Republican candidate is having fond memories of George W.
That's
Bush.
That's something.
That's, I don't like that. I'm not for that.
I feel, after so many years of griping about George Bush, almost a little content with the knowledge that things weren't as bad as I guess they could be.
Waterboarding shouldn't seem like the silver lining. You know, it should be like, oh, the Helicon days of our...
I just feel like we were in more capable hands in those days.
Than Dick Cheney's in that. Well, think about it. It's sort of that interesting parallel, too. Like, Pence, really, I mean, I feel like would probably be running the show, you know?
Oh, I mean, I would hope
that
so.
That same, like, evil conservative...
I've never
like,
thought I would say that. But
Dr. Oz, shadowy figure, pulling puppet strings behind
his schedule is just chock full of fetus funerals that he's going to be at.
Busy appearance schedule. Yeah. Although I don't feel like he has the same sort of evil, like, motivation that Dick Cheney... Like, Dick Cheney wanted to be a guy behind the scenes who was secretly pulling all the strings. Mm-hmm. Like, that was his... That was what got him up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I feel like Mike Pence wants to be a star a little bit. You know? He's got that very Reagan-esque performance quality. He's very kind of smooth.
His whole strategy was like, okay, well, if I'm his running mate, I hate him, but likely to get shot, so there's a good chance.
People don't like this guy.
He's playing the odds.
I look like the most reasonable person here. That's never happened in my political reality.
I know.
This is funny. This completely circles back to why we do the show, right? So we've got completely off track about our show and are talking about politics, and that's why we did it, because like everyone Fair involved enough. In the show is like obsessed with politics, and you know, most of us are kind of wonkish, I would totally. Say about,
and that's how yeah, that's how this show started too.
Yeah. And you know, California is known for its you know intelligent political discourse and really yes. emphasis.
Yes, emphasis. This on... city is the center of most of the intelligent discourse that happens in America. That's so. Who do you guys have on the show, and when is your next taping or live event or whatever? Because I know you.
Our next show is October 22nd. That's this upcoming Saturday. I don't know when is this coming out.
This will come out on Monday.
Monday. So tomorrow. Yeah, you've got tomorrow, you've yeah. got 6 days to get tickets, people.
Yeah. Nice. Don't mess this up. Yes. We posted a link on our website so oh, people can.
Thank you.
Do you want to? You want to give the panelists?
Oh yeah, I'm super excited about the panelists. First, we've got Garrick Bernard opening. Okay. Super funny guy. And then on panel we have Thomas Dale.
Oh, I love him. I know him.
So yeah. great. Used to be on Chelsea Lately all the time. Nice. Mm-hmm. Baron Vaughn. Who's mm-hmm. in Grace and Frankie right now, has nice. Been on Conan a bunch. Marcela Arguello, who has been on At Midnight. She was just on this past week. She won again. Hey, girl.
She's awesome.
She's awesome. And then Danny Jolies.
Oh, cool. Who, that sounds like a great
on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend yeah. this season, was nice. In the movie Ithaca. So we're super excited.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sounds Sick like lineup. A nice lineup. Yeah. yeah.
It's only $5, people.
Oh, come on, well, guys. That's easy. If you're yeah. in the LA choice. Area... And if you're not my mom, you probably are.
Right. And cheap beer and wine. You know, it's a fun show.
Basically. Yeah. Where do you guys
do it? Acme Comedy Theater on La Brea.
Oh, yeah.
135 nice. North La Brea.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, great. So guys, get your tickets.
We'll see all your We'll post the info. There.
Yeah. We've got a...
Yes. Hopefully every single one of them. Everyone. Including my mom yeah. will oh, show great. Up.
Right.
Perfect. So you guys are going to join us as we go through the news of the week. And this, I think, is a great week to do that because... All of the news was troubling, but also kind of hilarious. Mm. Like a little insane.
As it's been not, for about a year and a half.
Yeah,
now.
It's not a week but. Necessarily for the books if you're like wonkish, I guess. But it's yeah. great if you love reading tabloids. I yeah. love to do both, so I feel content
yeah. right at home.
With this
yeah.
with this setup. Yeah. We begin with Trump's second great Twitter rant of the last couple weeks.
Yes.
His Tuesday morning bizarre Paul Ryan
GOP. He loves
GOP
a good early morning Twitter rant.
Smackdown.
He went on a second one this week.
Yes.
Where the shackles
yeah,
are
the shackles
off.
Are off, you guys.
He's free.
We finally got those yes. shackles off.
Uh-huh. Can't you just picture him tweeting at like 3:34 in the morning on his like golden crusted toilet taking
yes.
shit
yeah.
and just fucking
like,
firing tweets
potentially
off,
like coked
hot
up.
Fire.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, the
yeah.
coke shit, that's why he's on the
show. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I didn't
makes
really
sense.
Notice the shackles being on
no,
at
no
any
one
point.
Did. No one did.
I feel like every week of this campaign has been an experiment in new shackles coming off. Like, Trump has taught me no. that there were shackles I didn't know about that
yes.
could still come off.
Yes.
Uh-huh. There were exactly. lows we could reach that
the
I hadn't
Amistad
learned.
The Amistad of political implosion,
yeah,
really.
Let us walk you through this.
Yeah, this Twitter rant's kind of exciting.
It's good. Yeah, it's a good one.
It's one of the good ones.
So
yeah,
started, he said, despite winning the second debate in a landslide.
Every poll.
Every poll.
He's like Which Karl polls? Rove. He
All
reads different polls
yes.
than the rest
the
of us.
The best polls.
The best polls.
Yeah, it is hard to do well when Paul Ryan and others give zero support.
Mm.
He spent a lot of this week
He's
going
not
after Paul
happy
Ryan.
With
We're
Paul
get
Ryan.
To more of that in a little bit. He said, our very weak and ineffective leader, Paul Ryan, had a bad conference call where his members went wild at his disloyalty.
He did have a conference call where he told everyone that he was going to stop defending Donald Trump,
right.
mm-hmm. which I don't think was news to anyone because he told the American people that too and has also been essentially implying that for the entire length of this race.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Shockers.
He went on. He said, it's so nice that the shackles have been taken off me and I can now fight for America the way I want to.
An America where sexual assault yeah. is legal and around every corner.
Yes. With the exception of cheating Bernie out of the nod.
He's so obsessed with Bernie Sanders right now.
He talked
love
about
it.
Him so much in that debate last week.
So much.
It's ridiculous. And
I know.
That,
like, too transparent. I mean, like a stupid person's version
like,
of...
And we talked about this a little bit last week, but I feel like he sort of, like, forgets what he's saying and just, like, sort of, like, delves back into, like, old talking points.
Yeah.
Because, like, the
That's
Bernie
one of
Sanders
words.
Thing was, like, months ago, but he just, like, forgets what he's doing. And, like, the Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. supporters are, like, that cake is... baked.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
He
right.
can reference Bernie Sanders in an early
like,
morning
tweet
storm
not...
all he wants, but like that's not happening for you.
No. Like, that's there's and that is like so, like, every other moment of his week has basically been about, like, pissing off Bernie supporters, essentially. I know. Like, that he has,
this tweet is not
it's mixed messages.
Yeah.
I think he might be a Bernie Sanders supporter, because usually the Bernie Sanders supporters I've met mention Bernie Sanders in every sentence.
We do. Yeah, we're not afraid of that. We've been doing that since before he ran for president.
Long before. Yeah.
So one of our initial podcast topics of discussion.
Yeah.
So in any case, Trump is, like, really obsessed with the Democrats being more organized and more loyal than the Republicans in this Twitter rant. Because he goes on to say, disloyal Republicans are far more difficult than crooked Hillary. They come at you from all sides. They don't know how to win. I will teach them. Coming at him from all sides.
Oh, God. And then he went on, finally, he said, the very foul-mouthed Senator John McCain begged for my support during his primary. I gave it. He won. Then dropped me over locker room remarks.
Mm. God.
That salty John McCain.
That's right. You guys, so if salty. I had to believe that someone in the Senate was foul-mouthed, yeah. I would 100% believe it was John McCain. I feel like he's, like, the life of the party. Like, all of the other senators that, like, reference him casually always act like he's, like, a fun guy to have dinner with.
Yeah.
He is kind of... I've seen him, I feel like, do some things that would require you to be a little bit of a bastard. Like, he gave a graduation speech at the new school when one of my family members was graduating from there, and literally the whole auditorium turned up and turned their backs to him. And he, because it's the new school. It was started by Jewish socialists. Like, don't invite John McCain to be the keynote speaker at your graduation. But he continued on with an amount of, you know, sort of excitement at the challenge that he sort of relished the situation. I feel like I would believe that about John McCain, and it makes me like him a little more.
Yeah. Well, he may be the life of the party, but he can never really raise the roof.
That's so true. True. But so Trump and Ryan are basically in, like, a feud that's not going to end at this point. This is the end of their friendship.
Because Ryan has basically said that he is now only focused on down ballot races, and that's, I think, what most people are doing. We're going to get
this is
later
what I
in
want.
The podcast.
That's
but, like,
an
that's
announcement.
What everyone's focusing
I want
on.
Nancy Pelosi to make that announcement as well.
Well, I was going
to
say,
I want everyone to make
I was
that announcement.
Say, you and I have been talking. Like,
this is a smart strategy for all parties.
Yeah, I mean, this election is baked.
Yeah.
The only thing that isn't baked is who wins the Senate and how many House seats the Democrats pick up.
Yeah.
So, especially if this election is annoying you, like it is,
go
everyone,
down ballot.
Just forget about it because it's over.
Yeah.
So just
focus on the part that's not over.
Wait, you're saying you're not saying not to vote though, right?
No, I'm not
we
saying not to vote.
We would never say not
no,
to vote.
No, my God. Okay. I am no. I am saying that, like, I mean, yes, you have to show up to vote.
But if you're showing up just to vote in the presidential race, you're doing it wrong.
I am of them. I am
the
of down
the ballot races
that
are important here.
Already won pending disaster in the next
Brent's
3 weeks.
Brent's in a different stage of denial than the rest of America. This is something we talked about last week. He has reached the giddy stage where he's just like, it's over and now everything's funny to me.
I have...
Last week he stopped being scared and just got on the giddy
you.
Train.
I'm
yeah.
With you,
yeah.
It's,
so
it's done. Vote.
So it
can be officially done.
Right.
But
also,
like,
we would never tell you not to vote. You should vote even if there's nothing to vote for. It's fun to vote. I helped someone vote yesterday,
I'm
and it was
in.
Like, it was the great. You're gonna write in for president?
You write
Why not?
Yourself in? What?
Oh, maybe.
You can. Are you
I'm
registered
not,
in California?
I am registered.
Yeah, write somebody in. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie and tell you that I haven't written myself in to an entire ballot at one point in my life. So, yeah.
We actually looked at the
New York
list
State,
of
only Democrats running.
What was that?
I
didn't
wrote
you send
myself
me that
in.
Link of the
oh,
list
yeah.
of write-ins? Oh,
yeah. Mickey Mouse is an officially registered write-in candidate in a lot
Darth
of places.
Vader.
Darth Vader. The usual suspects. I mean, Mickey Mouse always gets a lot of votes.
Yeah.
And sometimes misspelled Mickey Mouse gets, like, a certain number of votes as well. Like, people are really creative with their Mickey Mouse
God
spellings.
Bless America.
That's right.
Yes.
We have an American hero, and we don't know his name, and he's a cartoon mouse.
Yeah. That's right.
So in any case, this is the sort of setting at the beginning of the week when sexual assault victims start coming forward in surprising numbers.
Or unsurprising
numbers, yeah.
Why aren't there more?
It was surprising.
Oh,
I mean, there's definitely more. This is like a Bill Cosby situation, I feel like, where like it's going to be a slow trickle until it turns out that every woman he's ever crossed paths with has in some way been treated inappropriately by him.
Yeah.
He was not lying in that tape when he said that he likes to just kiss women on the mouth unsuspectingly.
No, this
is what he's been doing all over America. Yeah, we're going to take you through some of these accounts just because I feel like it's... like, the only way to get the full visual and sort of mental picture of...
It's so hard to keep track.
It's so hard to keep track. It's, there are 13 women who've come forward so far.
That's Tiger Woods level numbers.
This is impressive sexual predator numbers. These are not just, like, layman's sexual predator numbers. You couldn't accidentally commit this many acts of sexual assault. Even if you do believe that it's appropriate to...
ball and grab a...
Right, you just grab someone's ass on the way down, then kiss them on the mouth.
Yeah.
No, he's been walking up to women he doesn't know and greeting them by kissing them on the mouth all his life, it turns out. This is one disturbing thing I've learned. But so, okay, we're going to start with the most recent coming forwards. There's been one... They've been sort of rolling out all week. So yesterday, Saturday, we had the most recent was a 63-year-old woman who said that Trump assaulted her when she was celebrating a Mother's Day brunch at Mar-a-Lago.
That's on brand.
With her husband, in-laws, and children present.
Yeah.
He grabbed her, went in for a kiss, classic Trump move. Yeah. Then he got angry because she didn't seem to want to make out with him at her Mother's Day brunch with her entire family present. A relative at the table confirmed that she had like had to squirm away from him. That's also the only interaction she's ever had with Donald Trump. Literally, he grabbed a stranger at a Mother's Day brunch, tried to forcibly make out with her, and then got angry when she tried to twist away, and that was the end of their interaction.
Yeah, how is she voting?
Good question. Some of these women were still voting for him.
Stop it.
There was one in particular who was an apprentice
contestant.
Because she went the Gloria Allred route.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are being Gloria Allred, which I'm not certain is helping public perception.
No,
but,
I know.
You know,
but
whatever.
Listen, it's helping. It's like, this is all just like a sort of war of brands at this point. Like, Gloria Allred is like the name that you name when there's a sexual assault.
She wasn't going to not get involved.
Exactly. This is what she does. Everyone is doing what they do. Donald Trump is forcibly making women make out with him. Yeah. Gloria Allred is repping those women.
Finding any camera that she can.
Yeah,
get
I mean,
in
this
front
is how she lives. But this was a contestant on season 5 of The Apprentice who had various business dealings with Trump, and in 2007 says that he assaulted her several times, including when they first met, kissing her on the mouth, as we know that he's now famous for doing, thanks to him. He also like felt her up at a business meeting.
Yeah,
he also walked her like walked her into a bedroom at like after a business meeting, and as she described it, began thrusting his genitals. Don't go to a second location with Donald Trump.
Yeah. Don't let him want, no. Don't.
And then they also had they had dinner to discuss real estate at one point, and he also assaulted her there. So there have been like there was like a whole year of her life where she was A, continuing to attend business meetings with Donald Trump, and B, being assaulted at those meetings, which sounds like both the judgment level of someone who would go on The Apprentice, exactly like Donald Trump.
I'm sure Donald Trump is just going to respond to this one
by saying, "I did it."
It's just she liked
she
it.
She wanted it. Yeah. Yeah. And that wouldn't be the only one he's responded to that way. Some of these he hasn't responded to yet. On Friday, we had a woman come forward who said that she was assaulted in the 90s at a nightclub where he literally like reached and like touched her vagina basically while she was like sitting on a couch.
Also
on
he tells it like it is, people.
That's right.
Like,
that's,
he speaks his mind.
That's what Long Island likes about him. But so he denies this one, which I think it was the Washington Post that reported it. His spokesman called it totally ridiculous. But it's worth noting that this woman did not approach the Washington Post with this story. They found out about it from a third party, and she reluctantly confirmed it.
Yeah.
So she was not someone out seeking name recognition, she was.
I was going to say, and a lot of these, that's been the response to a lot of these. And he's, of course, denied all of them. But most of these are either corroborated by a second source, or some of these people actually even filed charges
at the time, or they were they were named in other lawsuits.
These are not just people who are, you know,
just like looking for their 15 minutes by claiming they were assaulted by Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah,
I can't think of anything more embarrassing. There's no one on earth who's looking for their 15 minutes. There's no Sidney Leathers in this situation.
There's not a feather in your cap.
Do
we want to start taking bets? Who's going to get the higher number, him or Cosby?
Oh,
I think Trump.
feel like it's going to be Trump, too.
Trump.
Yeah.
And I say that...
He's got to reach, like, almost 50.
I know.
Guys.
He's got a long way to go.
We have one already from the early 80s. Donald Trump doesn't let...
Yeah, we got one from the 80s.
He's the best sexual assaults, guys.
And these are sexual assaults that are not even in the frame of, like, him being a celebrity or being... Like, this one... Like, if it was the 90s or the early 80s, The Apprentice was not on the air yet. Mm-hmm. He was just a dickhead who had gone bankrupt 800 million times and was famous in New York only for being an asshole with bad taste.
Well, entitled.
And
it
speaks to his entitlement. And if it, I feel like Bill Cosby was a celebrity and doing this in the sort of frame of celebrity, and that left him with fewer options than someone who literally spent his whole life thinking he could grab women by the pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, there was no learning curve for Donald Trump. He, like,
he had buildings full of 13. Women, too. So yeah. He can just show up. He's got more exposure.
Yeah. He had just...
He had buildings full of women. Romney had binders.
The Republicans...
Much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least nobody could be touched in Romney's binders full of women. Yeah,
that's true.
At least that was just him thinking about women that no one didn't have to know he was thinking about them. here, this one from the early 80s literally was just like a woman who he sat next to on a plane and assaulted on the plane. No reason. They spoke briefly, and then 45 minutes later, he started feeling her up.
Oh, I love the defense of this one. Was like, this would never happen in first class.
Right. Like, oh.
Are you kidding me?
I really enjoy Katrina Pearson trying to defend this shit.
I know.
Reaching for
she's
strong.
Really like...
I think first class is more likely to happen. You have so much more leg room.
That's right.
Yes.
So much more leg room and so much more entitlement all together in one really boring place.
Honestly feel like he doesn't think this is wrong.
Well, no, I think that he doesn't. I think that speaks to the Donald Trump that I've known my whole life.
I think a lot of men don't think it's wrong.
I mean, that's true. Yeah.
And that's
all.
That's resonating.
I think that he has always been someone who had a sort of specific brand of entitlement that was a lot about sort of, it was like aspirational entitlement. Like he's really like working for it. Like, he was born into wealth, but it was the kind of wealth that no one actually respects because it was, like, redlining, like, tacky Queens wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like he's always sort of been, like, aspirationally trying to be as entitled as he thinks, like, a George Bush gets to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a George Bush goes to, like, fancy prep schools and is taught to only vote to allow men to grab women by the pussy, but not to do it himself if he can avoid it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Whereas I think Donald Trump is, like... From, like, a scrappy sort
it's
like of,
a nouveau riche kind of.
Yeah. It's the kind of rich where you love gold plating on everything, and you also think that like, essentially women are, like, a kind of ornament that's also an aspirational sort of
very sorty thing. Of him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like an American version of that genre of wealth,
totally.
When you really think about it. But, yeah, so we have women from the 80s. We have women from the 2000s.
Yeah,
we have
People
women
Magazine
who,
writer.
The People Magazine writer one. Who came out and wrote an essay about how he had assaulted her while she was interviewing him and Melania while Melania was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the closet thing where...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have women who just casually ran into him in elevators while working at Trump Towers. We have... And these women have all come forward in the last week, essentially.
Yeah. Well, and what is... I mean, the thing that has been so, like, ridiculous about this is that he has obviously... He's been denying all of them, and other people have been denying that they had happened as well. Like, oh, no, well, this couldn't have happened. But these women are all coming forward on the heels of him telling us that he did this.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
So it's like, he said that he grabs women. Like,
we're
supposed to believe that he claimed to grab women by the pussy. Then women come out and say, Donald Trump grabbed me by the pussy. And then we're supposed to believe Donald Trump
when he
saying
says,
that he,
I would never,
I would never
the
grab
New York
anyone
Times
by the
is
pussy.
Lying. I'm going to sue them because for libel. Like,
I just think this is like not an uncommon story when you talk about sexual assault in general.
Well, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're sort of like primed to never believe the woman already.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this man is literally saying, I did this. And then they're like, yeah, you did do this. And he's like, I didn't do this. How could you think of
right.
Yeah.
Well, you're that's like, sorry,
that's
I didn't
the,
mean to question you, male person.
That's the difference here, I think, where in other sexual assaults, you know, we keep talking about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby never openly claimed to sexually assault women.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He wasn't bragging about his sexual assault.
We can safely assume that he did.
Yeah. Yes.
But he didn't inform us beforehand that
this is how I act.
That
I literally grab women by the pussy.
Right.
Well, other than that Spanish fly bit. But yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
I thought he made a big mistake apologizing. I mean, not like morally, yes, but morally, definitely
really
the right move.
That he...
But
I
think Trump.
Yeah,
Trump. I think he made a mistake when he apologized for that tape. I think it was like your whole brand is staying, and like it kind of opened the floodgates. I think because if he just was like, whatever. And that would have been the story, and this would have gotten less
play. When he apologized for the tape, he didn't really apologize for the implications of the tape. And when he was specifically asked whether he sexually assaulted women at the debate, he
didn't say no.
So I feel like his apology was a sort of Trump apology anyway, mm-hmm. where he was sort of like, okay, yeah, I'm a guy who, like, says unsavory things in a locker room, and, like, that's on brand for him, so it's fine. And he didn't really, like, apologize in the sense that he recognizes why this is wrong. He acted like he was a teenager 10 years ago and just didn't know right from wrong, even though he was 59. Well, and so, like, there's no...
It's the first time where what he says is actually the issue.
Yes.
Every time it became, you know, oh, he said this is the issue and not the actual, like, implications of, like...
Right.
Even with, like, the Mexican rapist thing was like, oh, that's not cool, like, to say that. But no one actually thought, like, how is that going to translate into who you are...
Right.
As a
what
person,
does it mean to be a person who thinks Mexicans are rapists?
And now it's like, oh, this is going to be a problem on this one.
Yeah, this is, I feel like, been a sort of fascinating unraveling for him. But also, I can't imagine a more predictable route for this to have all gone.
I mean,
this
is kind of poetic that, like, pussy is bringing this guy to his knees.
I know.
And
I know.
The Republican Party in general. I fucking love it.
It's like everything that I feel like we back in like 2013, we were like, this is going to be a populist year, and populist years are dangerous, and the parties sort of need to know how to control populist rage when it happens to them. And the Republican Party evidently does not know how to control populist rage, because this is populist rage.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the rage at feeling like things have not gotten better for you, so you're willing to like essentially ignore a completely like unfit person because, or ignore the sort of issues with a completely unfit person for office because you just feel generalized rage that you can't identify is the problem with populist rage. And he is like playing into it to a degree that I don't think anyone else is really would have been capable of embracing. Like, I think we said Mike Huckabee should have run a more serious campaign this year because in 2012 he was sort of like the populist rage candidate. Mm-hmm. And
I always said that I thought Sarah Palin should run this year.
Yeah, right. Another sort of nonsense talking populist rage candidate. And I think both of them would have had minor scandals and they would have sounded as stupid, but they wouldn't have sort of like taken us to these kind of depths. I feel like this is like all poor planning that could have been avoided if someone had just thought, what does populist rage actually cause?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how embarrassing can this brand get when we have to stop practicing genteel racism and sexism and start admitting that it's open? Like,
the Republican Party had this secret that everybody in the party and knew was that, like, hey, a big part of our base are disgusting human beings. A basket of deplorables, if you will.
Yeah. Right.
A huge part of our base.
I will.
But they
no apology necessary.
They never would pander to it. Because they knew that it
looked
really...
They would
pander
to it in indirect ways.
That's what
they would, exactly.
But they would never go out there the way Trump has gone out there.
No.
And now it's like the situation where, like, you ever meet like an alcoholic who's just been in denial, and then now their life is starting to fall apart, and like you find the, you know, like the bottle of whiskey like under the sink and shit,
right.
And like it's all like, just coming out, and you just see the whole thing unraveling, and they are in such a bad place right now. I don't know where they can go from here.
I feel like they should have gotten rid of Vince Priebus after the last clown car race, because is like, I mean, this is not a guy who's in control of a situation.
No.
And for whatever at least Brent and I might say about the DNC and our sort of distaste
they were in control of the populist rage
in the way that they could figure out how to be. They at least kept a lid on the populist rage. This is like...
How crazy is that the Democrats are now the ones who are like the unity, like they have like the strong unity.
Don't think that message has not made me as a Democrat very uncomfortable. Like, I mean, I think that they have just sort of like become the party.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like not a credible alternative to them. There's like a bunch of crazy people who are making a choice that's based entirely on sort of like a lifestyle. It's like It's like a cultural imperative that they vote for Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with what he stands for. Yeah. It has nothing. It's they are like in gun America, and in gun America, they think they're under attack, and in gun America, they have decided to sort of vote for this guy because he's not the thing that they're afraid of.
Right. A lot of people are born a woman. Into it.
Exactly.
Right.
The
whole woman thing. Obviously, it's a big part of it, but Hillary Clinton is also like, I think there's something beyond her being a woman that people dislike.
I think that there's only something beyond her being a woman. I have been saying for a long time on this podcast that she should have chosen a female running mate to lend this sort of historic quality that Obama's first run had, where it was like, he was running on the same platform she's running on. Was I excited about that platform? Absolutely not. Yeah. Was I super excited to be voting for Barack Obama? Yes. Like, I feel like I wish that she had done a better job of kind of embracing the historicness of this. I think she is like beyond a woman because she is part of this like political dynasty. She's been in our lives for 30 years. You like know that she's a woman. You know sort of like that this is a historic moment.
As ridiculous as it sounds, it's hard to remember qualities of her if that's not something that specifically bothers you about her.
Unless you're voting against her being a woman, it's hard to remember that's part of the historic nature of this run.
If there was a poster with her face that said change under it, you couldn't look at that and not like think it's pretty ironic. Because I don't see any. There's no change with Hillary
She's the continuity brand in this race. And so that is part of what makes it hard to sort of create a historic feeling to this.
The inevitability of her, the perceived inevitability of her being the candidate, I think for a lot of people is a huge turnoff because nobody likes to be like, this is going to be the person. This is what's going to happen. Like, there was a game plan from day one.
And it feels like a giant conspiracy, which is the thing that everyone always claims that she's involved in. And so it just like, it's on brand for her, but not in the way that she wants it to be.
Wrong brand.
It's the wrong brand. Yeah. It's I think, something that she's struggled with this whole time, obviously. And I think that it kind of, you know, I think that there maybe would have been ways strategically for her to kind of like, play out of that box a little bit. And I don't think that her campaign took them a lot of the time. I think that they, you know, I think that they made a poor choice in Tim Kaine. They didn't, they didn't sort of take the chance to be kind of bold. And I think this could have been that would have been a bold choice.
And I think I think they made a conscious decision to, knowing that they were running against Trump, you know, you and I thought that she could have taken the opportunity to go further because she was running against a crazy person.
Right.
But what their calculation was is that if she just seemed like...
Like a human being who's breathing, and not Donald Trump.
Exactly.
And which that has been her campaign strategy.
And it's working out for her. So I don't really fault her for it, but it's not necessarily very exciting.
No. I think it's not working out in the way that it could have worked out narrative-wise. It's working out because Donald Trump is like a crazy asshat. I still don't feel like there's a lot of excitement about voting for her.
I don't think that's necessarily her fault either.
No, I mean, I think that it's part of the sort of struggle of this entire race. But, you know, there was populist rage on the left, too. And I think that in sort of like cutting off any dialogue with that, with that sort of end of the party, which was like half of the party
I think that end of the party, and I know that we're going to totally disagree on this because I can tell exactly you guys are super Bernie Sanders supporters and I'm a super Hillary supporter, think that end of the party had cut off communications and said, fuck you, never Hillary, we're not doing this. So what do you want? It's like, what do you want her to do to appeal to you when you just told her fuck you for the last 3 months, you know?
Well, that's the nature of running a primary. That's the primary process. Like, when you become the candidate, I think you have an imperative to sort of figure out how you can then speak to everyone. And I think that there were some, like, symbolic choices.
When she tried to do that, she was panned as...
I think the problem
she's also criticized for that. The woman can't win.
I mean, I think that, but that's the problem with her as a candidate is that she can't win, and you want a leader that can win. Not to sound all Trumpy.
Why do you think that is? Because she's been beat up in the public sphere for 30 fucking years.
But it doesn't matter what the reason is. It's like, that's what you want in a leader, someone that can make these things happen. And, you know, for better or worse, with Barack Obama, he could do that. He was a leader. And, like, you could talk to him, and a lot of people that disagree with him still respected him. I know I did. I respect Barack Obama. I don't really agree with him as a policy his policy positions, but I think that he comes out there and he can be – and exude that leadership. And I know it's not Hillary's fault that she's attacked and all these things, but the fact is that's who she is.
But that's a sort of party decision to think about when they think about who they're positioning to be the person who is the sort of establishment candidate who they kind of are are sort of indirectly throwing their weight behind because that's where the institutional weight is, that is part of the calculus. You know, mm-hmm. you kind of have to want to win. I think more than it being, though, just like a thing that she was like doing, I think it was just sort of like an inevitability of, I think that from the beginning, her campaign didn't really understand where this populist rage was coming from or expect it to come. And mm-hmm. I think that because it caught them off guard, they didn't respond to it in a sort of smart way a lot of the time. And I think that has really been the sort of major challenge that she's been kind of dogged with in this race. There was, you know, the sort of challenge of running against Trump is sort of like its own thing because he's playing a sort of media celebrity game. He's not really like running for president. He's like running to the no news is the all headlines are good headlines.
Right.
You know, no, it all news is good news kind of version of running a campaign. And she was also that level of celebrity. She is somebody who has the same level of celebrity as Donald Trump and the same level of infamy as Donald Trump. But she has to run within a political framework. And the way that her sort of like wing of the party understands how politics happens and how races happen. And I have a lot of friends who work in D.C. because all of my friends on the East Coast work in Washington for some reason. Sure. And the sort of differences in the way that they understood what was happening in this race and the way that I understood what was happening in this race, I thought were very telling. I felt like they, from inside of Washington, you can sort of see how things actually happen in Washington from like in one frame, but it's very hard to understand when there's just like rage simmering from the outside where that's coming from. And it doesn't often make it into the like actual discussion in Washington. It's easy to discount it. And I think this year from 2012, it was clear that there was this rage that was going to sort of be a part mm-hmm. of the discussion. And I think that the DNC and her campaign were, they don't sort of, they run on a brand of politics that's a much more sort of conventional mm-hmm. version of a campaign. It's a much more conventional brand of politics. And because of that, they weren't really like equipped to address it. And their learning curve was just very steep. And in having such a steep learning curve, they missed a lot of opportunities where, you know, I don't think that the primary was not that nasty. It was truly too, it was a dis. Compared to what happens in primaries, I don't think it was as nasty as her campaign with Barack Obama was because that was, they were running on the same platform and they had to distinguish themselves somehow as people. And this was really like, this was two visions of what the Democratic Party is. And the frustration was coming from the fact that there didn't seem to be a middle. No one seemed to be meeting in the middle on it. I don't think it was like, I think that there's always been like some rage at Hillary Clinton that has to do with past votes she's made. I'm certainly mad that when I was her constituent, she voted for the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. I get that it's years later. I'm still mad about it. I can't help it. But I mean, that isn't like the reason that I think she doesn't necessarily represent me that well. I think that we truly have like different visions of what the Democratic Party should be. And I think that is like a true primary to have, even if it's nasty, to have two visions of what the party should be trying to figure out how to best represent this tent. Like, what they had on the Republican Party was, like, no visions of what the party should be.
17.
You know,
17.
Like, 17. Well, they, but none of those people even had any vision.
That goes back to the problem of the inevitability of Hillary. I think that, she's going to be the nominee.
I think that they were able to be lazy in the beginning because they didn't realize that this was going to happen. And I think that if you were one of the people it was going to happen to, it was, like, so inevitable that it was frustrating to watch them not realize it. Because you were like, you guys, there's, like, a zillion millennial voters who, like, truly do think it's okay to, like, talk about some of these things that you that aren't sort of in your
you can't the same way about voting
you can't
well,
you,
I know
you can't blame them for not thinking that all those millennials were gonna fall in love with Bernie Sanders though.
That's true.
So on that level
and there's kids and they're old Jewish guys. They're just, they can't get enough.
You guys, nobody loves anyone more than an old Jewish socialist. That's America's grandparents. If you are from New York City specifically. That's Manhattan's grandparents. Brooklyn's grandparents.
I'm from small town Iowa.
Iowa. Do you have any Jews in Iowa?
Yes.
Like two.
Could you count them on one hand?
Two Jews in Iowa, everybody, if I'm keeping track.
Two Jews. Yes, two Jews. Well, then at least you know them.
All right.
In any case, moving on. News. The big sort of like moment of the week belonged to Michelle Obama. Again, she can't do any wrong.
That speech was great.
I know. It was a great speech.
It was very relatable. It kind of touched
totally
me
was.
Really personally.
Yeah. No, and that's, I think, she has sort
Did
of a gift
grab
for...
you?
Can you specifically name where it might have grabbed you? I feel like what I like about her is that her speeches grab me by the brain. And that is where I prefer to be grabbed.
Yeah, the great triceps.
Yes. Yeah, maybe grab me by the arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. But yeah, she was speaking at a New Hampshire Hillary Clinton campaign stop. She was stumping with Hillary. Hillary, interestingly, got on right after and has... The Times actually ran an article this week about how she's had to stay, like, relatively quiet about a lot of these allegations because the right's big plan is to hit her back with Bill Clinton, you know, impropriety. And, like, we're going to talk about that in a second.
And also, ridiculous.
It's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
But, I mean,
And also, we're going to talk about how it's their millennial strategy, which I think is
hilarious.
A hilarious, also misunderstanding of millennials. But, yeah, this Michelle Obama speech really, like, I think broke down what is so troubling about this being not just a thing that Donald Trump would do, but sort of like an acceptable,
like human thing,
you know, or just like a thing that we are allowing a human being to say they're doing and not just like immediately abandoning.
Well, and it's easier for her to speak as ridiculous as this sounds because she's the first lady, but it's easier for her to speak as sort of like your everyday person.
Yes.
Also, she's not the candidate.
She's not a candidate.
She doesn't have the baggage of being an elected
official. Right, exactly.
She's never sort of taken on the role, a politicized role in the White House.
She has younger children.
Right.
Also, I mean, like, I think there was just like, she's just able to relate that message.
Yeah, she's
speaking
the person.
From a place as a mom.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And also as a woman who's dealt with this bullshit for probably her whole fucking life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, are we allowed to curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Of course.
Perfect. Yes. I'm gonna ask now.
Our moms don't like it.
Yeah, my mom's gonna get mad.
Sorry,
but like,
fuck them.
Sorry, mom.
Well, now she's not gonna show up to her
that
show.
That was Brent, mom. We have no overlords. We have no, there's no rules.
No.
But in any case, this speech sort of was, this was the like sort of moment of the news week where I think we were able to like feel like someone had properly and appropriately address what was going on in terms that were not sort of either someone sort of tacitly apologizing for it in a, or sort of, you know, offering sort of like inexplicable kind of excuses for it or also was not something that felt overtly politicized. Like, well, it was a very sort of like,
that was the thing. She can still relay this message and frame it in a way that isn't political, even though it was at a political rally. She was introducing Hillary Clinton. But, you know, if Hillary Clinton would have come out and said, this isn't about politics, that
everyone
would
have been like,
collectively
thanks, Hillary.
Rolled their
eyes.
And that's not her fault. That's
no,
just,
but she's a candidate for president.
She's a politician.
Everything is about politics when you're a candidate for president.
But Michelle Obama can start a sentence that way, and you think, you're right.
She's right.
She's got a ton of goodwill behind her, you know. People love her.
Well,
and rightly so.
Yeah, I feel like she's the person that can unify this party. Yeah.
She's a badass. I'd love to see her be, you know,
do something. Yeah,
totally. After this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Supreme Court.
She's the Obama we're all waiting on, right?
Yeah.
She's going to save us from this horrible situation, we hope. Hello, Michelle.
I would really be bothered if another first lady, not because she's a lady, but the first lady of a president running for...
Yeah.
That just, like,
dynasty-style politics do not appeal to me.
I don't. And that's one of the things I don't like about Hillary. And it's just like, get out. Like,
it's not her fault.
It's not her fault, but I still dislike
it. It's not her fault. It is, I think, okay to feel like the sort of continuity politics, if that's like not
It's different
your
than
deal.
The Bushes, though. It's not a family.
It's a family. It's
100%
a family.
It's
worse because those two have been working together this whole time. So it's like they're on the same page.
Yeah, but she wasn't born into it, though.
Right.
I don't think anyone is claiming that. I think that once you have the sort of
Brent,
once you have sort of established like some element of like familial involvement in the highest office in the land, the idea that like it is not continuity to have the same team, essentially.
If Hillary Clinton would have like, you know, just been like a, you know, a cokehead through Yale that she only got into because her parent, like, I just, like,
not,
I just don't.
I think
the person
not
we need to worry about is Ivanka running for office.
Yeah, fair enough.
She's a badass. Like, I kind of respect her.
I kind of think that she maybe isn't, she's literally running a shadow campaign of different issues where she goes and speaks about whatever she feels like and then
the
says,
RNC,
vote for Donald Trump.
She tried to convince us that he wanted paid family leave and I was like, does she know where she is right now? Like,
and it was like,
I felt her lose the crowd.
Exactly.
Sucked all the life out of
And that was literally right on the heels of someone coming out and announcing they were gay and getting huge applause.
Yeah.
Like, she lost a crowd that was confused already. Like, they were ready to cheer for anything.
I didn't know what to do.
Like,
But yeah. She could be a formidable force in the future.
Yeah. Totally. Well, I think she probably. Dynasties. Yeah, I, mean, yeah, I think that. Yeah. I think.
Well, Trump
I think,
would have to win something for her to be a dynasty.
But I think that troublingly, what worries me, one of the things that truly worries me about Trump is I think he sees this as a dynasty situation in a way that, you know, I think.
That is a soap opera from the 80s.
Yeah, like this,
he's been pushing his creepy sons on us, too.
Exactly. And they literally look like cartoon Richie Rich characters.
He's totally a soap opera villain.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And he's been for the last 30 years, like all soap opera villains. He's just been on our airwaves bothering us.
His new plan is to try and convince everyone that the election is rigged.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's his now new, that he's going to lose latest. It, we
was
have
that
to
be- Sanders supporters plan too.
that was a more accurate depiction of what was going on.
Well, he would know it's rigged because he's the one in cahoots with the Russians. So, like, if anybody knows it's rigged, it would be him.
I know. Yes,
yeah, he's busily rigging it right now.
He has asked it to be rigged. Yeah. He requested rigging.
He called in the riggers. Because he's been talking about rigging, the rest of the GOP establishment is sort of panicking because it's sort of problematic for them as a legitimate-ish party, what's left of a legitimate-ish party, if all of their voters don't accept legitimate election results anymore.
Well, I think this is more dangerous than we're giving credence to it.
I think this is the actual danger.
Yes, you have to undermine. Well,
and that's
this is the
what,
most dangerous thing about him, and has been. I mean, he's been saying this from the beginning, but I think this has been.
And not to inform you that you agree with Paul Ryan on that, because he said the exact same thing this week. But you're right because like as a democratic society, we have to have some sort of confidence that our elections are working and matter.
Like at least an election that's not even really being contested at this point is not like this is like a sort of misread of not only this isn't sort of Bush Gore and there was a very close race and we didn't have the sort of institutional strategy for dealing with it in place and so it kind of went to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
This is more of a like, you know,
system.
I'm going to lose badly.
By any means necessary.
Let me undermine what's happening.
There's also something very different. Like there's very different feeling like, oh, the media is rigging things and the media is manipulating things. But the actual counting of the votes, that has to be sacrosanct.
Yeah.
You know, like the media has preferences. The different companies have different preferences. Yeah. Different journalists have different preferences.
This is America, so everyone's a company. And there's no media.
That doesn't bother me.
Just companies with preferences.
But the idea that the actual votes are tampered with is democracy's done at that point.
I think it's very common. What I think is so troubling about this is that, you know, all of his spokesmen and Mike Pence got on the Sunday shows and they were like, no, he meant the media. He meant the media, you guys. He wasn't talking about the race. Mm-hmm. And then he got on Twitter and was like, no, the race is rigged. I feel like the sort of media issue is a real issue for both parties in every race. And so I feel like the idea that they're sort of like watering down that as a thing that I think has bipartisan support for being a problem, unless you are like a corporate Republican, in which case you own the media, so you're all set. But I think the sort of, I am like troubled by this because I think it is also drawing parallels between those two talking points, like the idea that the media, which it is a problem that we don't really have any like free press anymore, that our press is, because it's controlled by corporate interests that have financial interests in the outcome of this race, that there is no way for them to be
like
sort
six
of
companies.
Right. Yeah. It's six companies. Right. It's, you know, it's six big companies who spend money lobbying in other ways, who already are sort of involved in the political process. They're not even six independent companies that determine what our dialogue about the race is. But that is like so distinct from there like being issues counting votes. He's been trying to push the idea that there's voter fraud, especially in urban areas. He's been trying to essentially claim that anywhere that has like black people is not going to be able to, is going to have voter fraud.
Yeah.
You guys, there is no voter fraud in America.
We know this to be true.
We can't like, even get like people to show
like regular
up at
people
all.
Aren't showing up. Yeah. The problem is not voter fraud. It would, if people were all showing up twice, I think that would at least show that we cared.
Yeah.
Like this is like, this is like this. So the opposite of the problem that we have, but I think
it's been disproven
time and again. There are almost no instances of voter fraud. There are almost no reasons for voter ID laws, for any sort of the restrictive voting laws that come into place every 4 years when we realize that someone might win the presidency. You know, like,
but that, I mean, voter ID is a great Republican trick of being like, it makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Right, it's
that
a logical
you need a
idea.
ID. You need ID to take out a book. You need ID to vote. Makes sense, but who does it hurt?
Right.
If it didn't hurt black people, nobody would talk about it.
And there's no free ID.
And
there's no free and easy way to access one.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it.
It's a strategy. Yeah. They know there's no problem.
Yeah. It's.
They also knew there was no weapons in Iraq, but whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They steal.
Pretty like successfully just take the South.
Yeah. And leave us in California with some very confusing congressional redistricting issues.
Yes.
Like Berman Sherman, if everyone can recall that chaos.
Yeah.
The fisticuffs that almost came to.
The valley.
Yeah. You know, the valley.
A1 guys.
Never thought I would be so glad Berman to have Adam Schiff as my congressman.
Yeah, right? I know.
Yeah. He was a blue dog before he ended up taking over West Hollywood.
I know. Yeah.
No, he's been okay.
He's been good.
He has
No, he has been. He's been great. And I say that as someone who was like a Waxmanophile. Like,
I know.
I was very upset to see him go.
I think I voted for a no one against him in his first primary.
I did too. Well, you had to.
Because
he was a
like,
blue dog.
This guy.
Yeah.
But now he's fine.
Yeah, he's okay now.
Yeah. You know,
he's done
he
the
knows
pivot.
His audience.
He's done the pivot.
I heard this interesting thing. I was listening to another podcast about a guy who was saying there should be an option on ballots for none of the above.
No.
Which I thought, because he was like, well, I get that people don't want to throw away their vote, but. It is a
if
valid
a majority
choice.
Of people just don't like anyone,
yeah, and
that...
then you'd have another. You'd have to rerun the election with different candidates.
Interesting.
And it's like I thought I was like that's brilliant.
I would like that to just be called "You are all assholes."
Yeah, because
none of the above sounds too
don't
tame.
Wouldn't it be nicer? Like I think a lot of people don't vote because like I don't give a shit about them, but then they don't vote down ballot either because like they're
well,
don't
that's something
up.
That I feel like you know.
So if you could go in there and not feel guilty about being like. These two people.
Yeah.
I don't want anything.
And it's
to
like,
do
guys,
with
in California, even if you don't like Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, like, let's get some marijuana.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to show up to vote. You got to show up to vote.
I don't know.
How was it not called Prop 420?
I know.
Huge mistake.
I have some misgivings about 64, actually.
Really?
Why? I don't get these misgivings that people have at all.
I mean, successfully.
Is it going to make it more expensive?
So I don't know.
It's going to make it way cheaper.
In the short term, I think like Prop 215, the medical marijuana community has some objections to.
Interesting. Some changes.
Yeah because they're going to lose money.
It really comes down to me not being able to get. Spin the wheel at the weed store and get
free jewelry. Right. Exactly.
Fair enough.
No, but there are some things. There are some things that I have heard people who are in favor of legalization just aren't necessarily in favor of
this particular
measure.
Well, this points to all of my issues with the prop system, and I have many. Mm.
Yeah,
I think the prop system itself is the dumbest possible way to conduct any sort of public.
Well, and especially
voting.
To have. I mean, like you know, we have. There's. What, 17 of them?
Yeah.
You know, you get your official election booklet. It's
it was 233 pages
long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
No one has time for that.
Like, people just...
And
people,
several of them
people,
contradict each other.
People mm-hmm. are... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't expect, I don't think, like, your electorate to be, like, basically writing those... I mean, we didn't write them, but I mean, voting on those laws... Like, to have all of the proper information to make... The proper choice on some of those things, like you said, like
here's
that, you know, like a lot of people are going to be like, "Yeah, marijuana," but you know, there's obviously
right, maybe there's repercussions
there's
we don't know about.
There's more to that law than right,
yeah.
exactly, and that's the problem with all of with the proposition system.
We do
to
nuance
me,
really
anyway.
Well here.
I think the number system is actually good because otherwise they would all be named in such a misleading way.
Well, that's
it'd
true.
Be like,
yeah. like
the
yeah, like all the laws coming out of Congress
I mean,
are
right.
basically
well,
yeah.
you get,
the
you,
right to ponies and happiness law that restricts women's right to like go and public.
Yeah, and so I understand why they did that because sometimes you're like, why can't they just be called the pot law? You know, but if they didn't, it would be like the justification for the legalization of America. And you would be like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, they still do give them those stupid names.
They're so
like
long-winded
side,
because they're...
Have you guys been getting cold called about propositions? Any
no.
opposers? Oh, yeah, I've been getting a lot of...
I get cold called about New York.
I
have a New York
number.
Yeah, so I get...
No one gives a fuck what we think.
I get cold called
about... feel
about
the First Avenue
subway?
I mean,
D.C. went to Obama 99.9%.
Yeah, D.C.
There's
like
one white guy that
who was like,
was
I will not.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it was like someone who worked at an a government agency that only does evil work.
Yeah.
That's. But yeah, this, the getting back to the sort of legitimacy of the elections point, I feel like even inside the GOP, they're starting to kind of panic about what this is
going to... Yeah, they don't want that.
No, yeah, this is a terrible... Because they are now ready to let him lose and to figure out how to pick up the pieces from there. I think they are sort of on a scorched earth.
Remember when they tried to pick up the pieces after 2012?
Yeah, remember when they wrote a whole report about it where they specifically outlined how to avoid this?
Remember when they tried to do minority voter outreach at a plantation?
Yes.
This is who we're dealing with, folks.
Yeah, that's...
Their whole party is predicated on the wants of a very small group using the... manpower of a very dumb group to get what they want. And now that really dumb group has taken the pitchforks and the torches and is probably going to burn down the entire party.
Well, and Trump is sort of like Frankenstein. He's just sort of this monster made up of all these terrible parts.
Contradictory
racism,
parts.
Everything except ideology.
One monster.
He's the scariest because he doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah.
He does. And Ted Cruz... is a monster of a human also, but he believes in shit, so you can deal with him and you can parlay with him.
Well, you also can have a predictable discussion about policy with him. Donald Trump will just tell you whatever he's feeling at the moment about policy in a word salad that comes out meaning nothing.
I think
grab him by the pussy was the clearest policy articulation.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's and that's the one he, plan he lives know the about. Life, you guys. Yeah. He has the plan. He lives the life.
Yeah.
He's sincere
Absolutely.
On that. We don't know what he thinks about a woman's right to choose because he's had five different opinions on that. But
well,
we know that
he
feels...
how many abortions he's forced women to have over the course of the 80s and 90s.
Countless.
Well, that's another popular thing that GOP
lawmakers Yeah, GOP lawmakers love to force an abortion here and there. Yeah. That's a classic move of theirs. But interestingly enough, this is not reflecting... This, chaos is not reflecting in the polls to the degree that you would expect in a, rational universe.
It certainly moved it a little bit, and it also we're not exactly sure how it's moved it because there were the polls were all over the place this week.
Also, did you read that article about how the LA Times poll sample is skewed by one 19-year-old guy somewhere in the South?
Yeah. Have you seen this? Whenever you look at the real queer politics, presidential polling,
Trump is just winning.
It'll
the
have
LA
like
Times.
Hillary plus seven, plus seven, Hillary plus seven, and then it's like Trump plus six, and it's always the LA Times poll. And there was an article about why that's happening this week.
Their methodology is and whack. It was they got the worst, the sort of, whack. Yeah, the person who is not sort of following the trend in their sample is the most weighted person in the poll.
Because
he represents all young African-American
guy,
people.
Right, exactly.
And he's voting for Trump.
He's voting for Trump.
Yeah. I think the way that their poll works, they technically weight some groups that it's hard for them to get poll participation in certain ways, and they usually there's a way in which they kind of combat against it being skewed this way, but because of something that had to do with numbers that was in the article that I read and understood at the time and immediately
she sent it
forgot,
to me and I was like there's math in here, I'm out.
I wonder what pollster designed their poll.
Yeah, and it's a different methodology than all the other polls.
Yeah,
but it normally kind of tracks pretty similarly. And they just had the guy who's the most weighted guy in the poll just happens to be a black Trump supporter.
Yeah, that,
a young black Trump supporter,
poll,
and it's skewing everything.
Yeah, that poll is. That poll is finally tied, which means she's probably ahead by 10.
Yeah, by 1,000,000 points. Yeah.
But anyway, there was an ABC News Washington Post poll that came out, and she was only ahead by 4 points. And both of these polls that we're going to talk about were taken after the
pussy,
grab by the pussy.
Grabbing comments.
Yeah. But then there was another one that NBC News, Wall Street Journal did. She was ahead by 11 points.
Right, that's the 11-point poll. So, here's a question. Is one of these polls a four-way poll and one a two-way poll, maybe?
No. Although, no.
Okay, well, good. So that doesn't explain that.
No.
Never mind. Moving on.
So,
new questions.
Who knows why the discrepancy? But, I mean...
This is a hard year to poll, you guys.
The thing is that even if you take it as at the four level, that's how badly nationally Obama beat Romney, and that was not that close.
Right. No, and there are some states that are critical states in which she is out polling him that are states that are usually around tied at this point.
Right. Well,
Utah.
I know.
Yes.
Utah, and she's also
What about Colorado?
Colorado is back? Is Colorado back? What's been happening with Colorado?
It's been
because
all over
she
the
was
place.
Down by 9 points the last time I checked.
I want to move to Colorado.
I think it's
leaning
blue again too, but it's definitely been all over the place because Colorado was one of the states about a month ago. They thought that they had so unlocked
they pulled their money out of it. And then she was down 9 points the next month.
But I think it's back.
I hope so.
I think it's back. Leaning
if
blue.
You're in Colorado and listening,
put down the weed, Colorado.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Pick up an internet.
And the thing is that if she wins Colorado and if she wins Virginia, which it looks like she might win both of those, she could lose truly all of the other battleground states. You would hope that she wouldn't also do
North
so,
Carolina.
But I mean, like...
Yeah, she's tied. They're tied in North Carolina.
She's up, I think, in North Carolina.
Is she up
now? Yeah, actually, I think she is. Yeah.
And basically, if he doesn't win North Carolina and Florida, he's done.
Yeah, if she wins, like, any of the states that Romney won in 2012, he's sunk. And North Carolina did go to Romney. Yes, Obama won in 2008, so it can be won. But yeah, he can't.
He's in a much scarier position overall at the state level.
And
the early voting signs are looking good for her as well.
That's why I don't trust these polls. I'm like,
this is a tough year to poll because the Republican demographic is not who they normally are.
Right.
The Democratic demographic is a weird sample of everyone on Earth, basically.
Yeah.
And you don't know how many young people are going to show up, and they're the biggest voting demographic.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have questions about what the electorate is going to look like because, for you know, at least in terms of Trump, Trump often outperformed his polling in the primaries. Mm-hmm. Because there were a
weirdos
lot of people,
were excited about him.
Weirdos were excited about him. And there's also this theory that there's probably some credence to, is that people don't tell other people that they're voting for Donald Trump.
No, I think that's a big part of it.
So there are a lot of people subscribe to this theory that there are hidden Trump votes out there. There are also people who don't think that the electorate is going to look like it did in 2008. Although people in 2008 or people in 2012 didn't think the electorate was going to look like it did in 2008.
It looked exactly
the same.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think that she's definitely ahead because that does seem to be the common thread in all of the most recent polls.
Absolutely.
And also in the battleground states too. There was a CBS battleground state that polled, I think, 10 or 12 of the battleground states. And she was ahead by 6 points, collectively in all of those states. So, I mean, I think it's fairly safe to say that she's safely ahead, but it will be interesting to see.
But we don't know who's going
to
show up.
Right.
We have no idea.
You gotta show up.
You gotta vote.
I think there, conversely, are a lot of people that are not saying they're not going to vote for Hillary. You know, I think there's a huge pressure by people in the Democratic Party to be like, stick by Hillary, while a lot of Democrats don't like Hillary. And I think there's a lot of people that are like, I'm going to vote for Hillary. And then they're
just not going to
show. I
actually think the opposite is true. I think depending on which sort of demographic you're looking at, I think that the party is like very specifically split into like three voting blocks that have to entirely to do with age.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're like my mom's age, then unless you're my mom, because she's going to call me out on this, because she likes to go around saying she's undecided because she likes to keep the pressure on.
She likes the attention. Let's be real.
But she's been campaigning for Zephyr Teachout in upstate New York, and she's like a sort of Bernie Congress, sort of Bernie, one of the Bernie, Bernocrats. Congress.
Yeah.
She's one of the few people who won her primary and is looking like she might win her race.
She challenged Cuomo in the primary for governor.
Yeah,
and
in New York, that's how
she was very anti-fracking. She got Cuomo to change his
exactly. Yeah, and so she ran a really successful challenger primary campaign for governor, and she's running in an upstate New York district that is a Republican district that just got redistricted. And so, in that district, it is better because it's a Trump district to not have anything to do with Hillary Clinton. It's in upstate New York. Trump's not going to win New York. It's sort of irrelevant who they vote for president, but they have this very exciting congressional election going on. So it's actually beneficial if you're a Democrat in that kind of situation to sort of not talk about the Hillary Clinton thing because she's very disliked up there.
Yeah.
But you can get Republican votes for Zephyr Teachout because she is dealing with a lot of local issues that people up there care about, even if they're crazy Trump supporters. Because crazy Trump supporters.
But the same thing can be said for Republicans who are trying to figure out how to deal with Trump. So,
exactly.
I
think that it's like I was thinking about this during the last debate, because the last debate was like I think the first time that Hillary Clinton's own actions were sort of irrelevant to the outcome. In a sense, she just did what she does. She's a good debater. She shows up. She's prepared. She makes good arguments.
Smart.
She talks too much, but she generally leads you to believe she knows what she's talking about. And I think that generally works against her because she over-explains a lot of the time and people get exhausted with her. And I think in that last debate, it was so sort of like jarring to watch her interact with Trump and watch him be so sleazy and threatening that people walked out thinking, oh, maybe I could vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I don't like her, but this was not okay. Like I think that there is sort of like an amount of the Hillary Clinton electorate that is at a certain point going to vote for her because Trump has pissed them off too much and they don't like anyone and they're not going to say that they're voting for Hillary Clinton, but they probably are going to do it. In the same way that I think there are a lot of people who are sort of like doing the opposite I think that younger voters are doing the opposite, possibly. But I think older voters are probably slowly getting over their hatred. or at least making it not and, care and as much, matter as much.
Probably a lot of women in Republican families, yes. because there's always the pressure exactly. of like your husband wants you to vote the same way you yeah. do, but when you get in that
those
booth,
bitches are getting that vote.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they are. Well, and she's been speaking to them too. She's got an ad that's running right now.
Yes.
too. That's Republican women talking about how they've yep. always voted Republican and that they just can't do it.
Good strategy. Pick don't off get, the ladies. Oh, in the ballot.
Totally. I mean,
51% yeah. of the country.
There's like, yeah, right? yeah exactly. Yeah. That's. I feel yeah. like I feel like this is yeah. like the beginning of this is the yeah. discussion I wish that we had been having this whole time where yeah. we could talk well, about why women should vote for her.
A lot of good signs outside of just being ahead in the polls because yes. States. Now we have actual votes to count
right.
now, actually.
Yeah, early voting has begun.
She's crushing him in early voting.
Right, it's specifically in Florida and North Carolina. Yeah. She's crushing yeah. it. So, like, if either of those go to her, I mean, yeah. it's
game over.
It's over, yeah. yeah. So, Democrats have been requesting way more absentee ballots in Florida than even at this point in 2012,
yeah.
which is crazy, but they've been focusing on that. Hardcore. They've done a
well,
good job with
this. Well, you have to because Florida is where you end up waiting 6 hours if you live in a precinct that has yeah. mostly minority voters.
This is permanent exactly. vote by mail stuff.
Yeah. Well, yes.
This,
well,
these are requests.
Request for early ballots.
So Democrats are requesting ballots in numbers that far out.
To vote by mail.
In numbers that outpace the Republicans by far.
It's in the largely Hispanic
areas,
communities.
Yeah. In around Miami.
That is a really good sign, and I'll tell you why. So I used to work at an environmental organization here in California that tried to elect people, sensible environmental leaders, to the assembly and stuff. And we also would do things like Latino outreach and polls of the Latino community in California to see how to message them about environmental issues and conservation and yada, yada. And one of our things is getting out the vote, and we did this permanent vote by mail sort of conversion campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it just, for some reason, and there are a few, which I won't get into here, but it really does increase people's participation.
Yes.
And yep. likelihood. Especially in the Latino community, it just skyrocketed the number of people participating. So I think that's a really good sign. I can't say that the same is true in Florida. Obviously, those are Cuban voters. We have more Mexicans here. You know, I don't know if it's the same, but I know here in California that was super helpful in getting out the Latino
vote. I think that vote by mail has, in basically every demographic, improves participation. So I feel mm-hmm. like it's probably safe to say that it will at least help.
Because we've talked about this, some of the states that have automatic, where they basically just like once you get an ID, they start sending you ballots. Mm-hmm. Like those states,
people show up.
California will be one.
I know we're about to be one of those states.
So I know, and it's good, yeah, especially for here because nobody votes here, which is sad. I mean,
it's a logistical nightmare,
especially in Los Angeles. Like it's
fun to vote. I feel like they take what is the most fun thing about being a citizen and like make it harder for you than it. And I say this as someone who has waited in line for long periods of time in New York
at
poorly organized.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, I had to wait longer lines in New York, but I had more fun voting somehow.
I still voted.
Yeah, you got to vote.
Passed my ballot.
You let them disenfranchise you by punching you.
It was the Lower East Side, you know. No. It's a little nutty.
But the other reason this is a good idea is because so many people are starting to do this. They're like, a lot of the estimations have early voting. 40% of votes may already have been cast by the time November 8th rolls around. So if you can really like win, I mean, some of these elections could be over before November 8th, obviously. Yeah. Again, still vote. Let's say that as
Everybody...
many times as we can on the podcast. But I mean, like almost half of voting will be over before before election day.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your head around that because you just are so used to the idea of that one
that moment matters.
Pull the thingy.
I know. I'm getting nervous because I love going to vote, and so I have not registered for a mail-in ballot, but now everybody I know has. So I feel like, what if I get hit by a car the day before Election Day,
and
I'm the one person who doesn't get to vote excited?
I registered for mail-in, and I had never done it because I also like to go and vote. But then we had that whole...
Your Marsha Gay Harden incident.
I almost didn't get to vote in the primaries this year because, like, I found out that I was going out of town for work the weekend before the primaries. So I drove down to Norwalk to the county registrar's on Sunday and voted. But it was a real panic situation.
Made friends with Marsha Gay Harden in the process.
I do it all for the sticker.
Down there, too. I felt really...
Yeah, the sticker makes...
sticker love for Marsha Gay Harden.
Absolutely. I know, I also...
But they send you the sticker in the mail.
I mean, that's dedication to drive to Norwalk.
Yeah, it's in the ballot. No, it's in the...
Oh, so I can just get a sticker for doing nothing?
Yes, it's in the mail and ballot.
You get a sticker for voting.
Guess I'm not voting this year.
Vote and then receive your mail.
How do I vote twice? I'm really trying to get this voter fraud thing off the ground.
Here's what you do. For anyone who wants to vote twice, make sure that friends and family are voting, and if they're idiots, tell them how to vote.
Right, exactly.
If you make sure your idiot friends vote, then you get two votes.
Or three or four.
I'm taking several in a few swing states. I feel great about it.
Good for you.
Someone's got to do it.
But real quick, you referenced this earlier, but we have to talk about Utah.
We have to talk about this Evan McMullen situation.
Yeah, first off,
who the fuck is he?
Right. He's like running for the presidency of Utah.
He's running for the presidency of Utah. He's polling at 22%.
Right. Which is only 4% less
than the major who are tied now in Utah.
Yeah,
and
well, Gary Johnson with black voters, though.
Does that matter in Utah?
This is Utah.
It's a joke.
He's a former FBI agent.
CIA agent.
He went to BYU.
Yeah.
I have no information about his platform whatsoever, and I think that it might be irrelevant to the conversation.
Well, that's because he's in the CIA,
Republican, conservative. Yeah, I actually Romney kind of dude.
I love this because it's like, hey, our system works.
Yeah.
Hey, there's nobody likes any of these people. Let's throw a third guy in there.
Yeah.
Like that's gonna how run in it's Utah? Supposed to work.
Well, and actually, Utah has been an interesting case because this has been so scandalizing for Mormon voters that the sort of traditionally aggressive Republican strain of Utah voting has been really challenged by some of these sexual abuse allegations because that is truly outside of their kind of deal.
Yeah, there's no child rape in Utah.
Never.
Get out of here.
Never.
Really grab her by the funny underwear.
That's right.
Yeah.
The magic panties.
Yeah.
Right. But if he wins there, that's the same as Hillary Clinton winning there. I mean, because those are electoral votes that
I think
that
would just be amazing. That he obviously would need a third party candidate taking a state.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that would be awesome.
That would be great for this country because it's like, it can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From some guy that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah. It can be done in Utah.
Take that.
I also want to know, like, what kind of shadowy shit is this guy doing? Whenever I hear CIA, I'm like,
Yep.
Well, but he's also, I think that running a statewide campaign in Utah is like a special thing.
Right.
And like, Utah is like a cult, it's like a state cult. So
it's just such a weird thing to. I mean, unless you're just sort of like trying to raise your profile either for the future or if he's from there, like if he wants to run for governor at some point. But it's like odd to run a presidential campaign in a single solitary state.
I think his goal is governor.
It's got to be governor.
Right?
Yeah. Remember how many people were doing that when we last checked all of the candidates for president? We did it 4 years ago and we also did it during the primaries.
Oh, that's right.
There were 800 million people running in the primary for the Democratic primary in California. A lot of them were only running in Western states or in, you know, like random places. Most of them were Republicans. And then there were people who just run every year and have since like the early 80s who have no platform or specific reason for running.
Yes, of course.
I think I'm going to do it next in 2020 just so I can be former presidential candidate Chuck Ludwig.
I think that's just got some roaring. And there was one who had even changed her name to like Christina President or something. Or like she had changed her name to be the president.
You don't have the name for the job you have. You have the name for the job you want.
Yeah.
But that would be weird. This is Christina President.
Exactly.
President Christina President.
It was going to create a lot of challenges for her future voters.
You get all your luggage remonogrammed.
I mean, you make a good point though, Chuck, that like Utah is a situation where, you know, the third party thing is maybe waking up the two parties in that particular state. Although it is an anomaly.
Listen, isn't almost every vote this election a protest vote? Like
that's what I mean, we've been saying that this whole time.
No.
Aside from your vote.
I mean,
you actually like Hillary.
I like Hillary. I don't consider
your vote definitely not.
I vote for her gleefully and with no reservation.
And there are certainly people who are doing the same for Trump.
Sure. There are. I think that there are.
Don't mean to compare
the
you.
The Pussy Grabbers Association of America.
My Association. Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
I think that there are probably a larger percentage of protest voters in this race than in your average year. I think that includes for what is unusual number of people in the regular race that are doing that.
More people are voting against Trump than voted against Romney or against McCain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. I think you're seeing that on both sides. I think there's a lot of Trump
supporters
who are just voting against Trump. However you need to do it is how you should do it.
Right.
But I feel like that is probably also the case. That's why he has such steady support despite being like an actual like terrible human being who doesn't deserve to like be on the national stage whatsoever. Like, I think
doesn't deserve to be polling at 40%
still. Right, exactly. Still. I think that that is a function of a lot of his voters being in what I've been calling gun America, who feel like it is like truly a betrayal of their values if they vote for Hillary Clinton based on their own sense of who she is, which is kind of unreal. They don't have facts in gun America.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. But I mean, I think that that's probably why his support has stayed so steady, because no one knows what he stands for.
Well, Trump is going to have all his voters come out on November 28th, just like they should.
Yes, just like they should. Right. You head to the polls on the 28th, like you do if you live in Trump America.
Yeah, please, please, Donald Trump supporters,
do that.
We'll show up then.
Donald Trump says what he means.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So, he's a straight shooter.
Yeah,
he's a straight shooter.
You should take him at his word.
Exactly.
Like, that happened this week, and it's not even like.
Well, that's not even.
I know.
It doesn't even rise to the surface.
That has nothing to do with the craziest things that happened this week. No. Meanwhile, a bunch of GOP people have started tiptoeing back to Trump because.
Go figure.
Yeah, because now I think they realize that they're also running for office in his in the party that
they immediately were like,
the shackles are now off.
He must step down.
Right.
Well,
but since he won't, you know what? Right, let's not worry about
Their master plan in trying to get him to step down was because they all wanted Mike Pence to take over the ticket,
which is an even bigger nightmare, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's an equivalent.
It's a toss up. It's an equivalent nightmare. Right. Right. Completely different.
Mike Pence has ever said the word pussy though.
No.
Like, in his
defense.
The government to be pretty involved
in it.
Exactly. He's very interested in pussy.
He's interested in pussy.
Grab it more metaphorically.
Yes, right. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, he practices genteel sexism as opposed to just overt lewd sexism.
He's got ideas, and like, he has a position on it. Like, you can deal
with bad ideas. But he does have
the worst plan.
You can deal with somebody when, like, you know where they're coming from.
It's a rational actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump is not a rational actor.
Right, he's not a rational actor.
Everything's out the window.
Yeah. And it's crazy that we have to think of Mike Pence as a rational actor. You know,
I know, right?
He's not a man clinging to his ration.
That's another danger of Trump, is that he has changed. He has pushed to the just what is acceptable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has changed that in a bad way, so that we do look at people like fucking Mike Pence as a rational actor.
Yeah.
Or Mike Huckabee as a good alternative. That's horrifying.
Or Ted Cruz as the Zodiac Killer.
Yes. Right. Exactly. We all know that that's
totally true.
That's
one of the ones I want to believe.
Yeah. But a lot of these Republicans are now, they're going back to him, and they're not necessarily saying that they are supporting Trump, but they are
doing
this dance that they are talking about, like, the generic Republican ticket. Like, I'm supporting the Republican ticket from top to bottom. Are you voting for Trump? I'm supporting the Republican ticket.
It's like the ticket supporters.
They just won't say his name.
Yeah.
But they are sort of like back, you know, kind of being
it's
like
this separate but equal of supporting the Republican Party. You know, it's like they're like I like this terrible thing.
Right.
For the good things it gives me.
But they're confused.
No, you know, they're spineless and they're hypocrites. Well,
yes, that's a better way of putting it.
Better way of
that's
putting it. Thank you.
Well, but no, I mean, there is...
know exactly what they're doing.
There's a strategic point of view for not wanting to tank your entire party. Like, even if you hate Trump, you kind of don't want to just shit on him because it makes you look bad.
Well,
no.
I feel like that I feel like in this race, that is like maybe a toss-up statement.
Right, right.
Like, I feel like it doesn't necessarily make you look bad to a bunch of people who think that they've been voting the more moral ticket this whole time for family values and all of those sort of like fake nonsense issues that the Republicans have been capturing poor white voters on this whole time.
Yeah.
If you are a person who thinks that you have been voting the family values ticket for your entire life and that's why you're a loyal Republican, I feel like the morality of...
Obama, I don't know if you saw the clip, he just fried them up so hard about the value stuff.
That was so great.
It's like, I love no fucks Obama. Like,
I know. He's the best.
Well, and even Glenn
Lame
Beck
Lame duck
knows
Obama
who the moral,
was always going to be the best.
Even Glenn Beck knows who the moral candidate is.
Yeah.
And it's not Donald
and it's
Trump.
Not the person
once Glenn Beck knows.
Who you have to put Cheetos on your face to look like.
Yes, have you guys seen this?
Doritos.
I did not know that was a thing. It was in the article.
I did see it.
Yeah, he he put on, this
swim
was like back in April, he put on goggles and then rolled his face around in crushed up
Cheetos
to make himself look like Donald Trump.
Gotta love the man's
There's
dedication.
Video of this. So we'll make sure everybody sees it, by the way, because
I
didn't know about
it. Cheetos, though. Yeah.
Flamin' hot.
Were they flamin' hot?
Yeah.
If only.
That's our outreach to black voters.
Yeah. Right.
I respect Beck for doing that. I mean, like, that's probably hurt him.
I mean, it probably hurt him with his audience.
He's
been an early
already.
He was an early adapter to the Trump hating.
actually. Yeah, yeah. And like, I, you know, it's easy to shit on these guys because they're a bunch of clowns most of the time, these talking heads. But like, hey, he saw something that he was like, okay, this is too far for even me. And right, yeah. he stood up to him. And, you know, give him credit. Like, it's
not
easy to shit on these guys.
Not a lot is too far for him.
Yeah.
We saw him at Politicon. Very little was too far in that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, listen, like, it's I love to talk shit on conservative assholes all the time. But, like, when they do something good, you gotta give the guy credit.
True.
I have a hard time giving credit to anyone who wrote the Christmas sweater and then forced me for work to read it.
That's right. I had to read that for work. Yeah, you had to do coverage.
So I've read Glenn Beck's novels, you guys. And,
I'm so sorry.
And I can never forgive him.
What's his prose like? Any good?
Well, his prose is like the prose of a ghostwriter who's not him. All right. The telltale signs of a person who's not Glenn Beck writing a terrible story about Christmas.
Yeah.
But that writer probably has a good novel in his drawer somewhere.
I'm sure. That one.
Yeah.
Just needed the money.
Exactly.
In any case, we teased this earlier, but yeah,
the Trump millennial
outreach strategy is the greatest thing that's happened this week.
The words Trump and outreach
Well, yeah. And it has to do with that, actually, because his plan is to just go real, and he has said this himself, but he's going to go scorched earth on Bill Clinton's sexual past.
Because he thinks that young women will be horrified.
Right, and he's gonna blame Hillary Clinton.
And forget
for
that Donald Trump himself is a sexual.
If there's one thing I know about women, it's when you blame another woman for her man's deeds, they love that.
They just love that.
Or if for what they're wearing, you always want to blame victims for what they're wearing.
People deserve to get raped if they're wearing short skirts.
This is obviously a Steve Bannon strategy. Obviously. This is the Breitbart strategy. And he even said, he was quoted, he said, we're going to turn him into Bill Cosby. He's a violent sexual predator who physically abuses women who he assaults, and she takes the lead on the intimidation of the victims. So that's their new plan.
Their impression of Hillary Clinton's role in Bill's infidelities, by the way, is like my favorite, like, bizarre conspiracy theorist. Like, the idea that she is, like, walking around behind the scenes, like, essentially, like, breaking kneecaps and intimidating rape victims or whatever they're claiming he's up to.
I can just imagine Hillary Clinton trying to intimidate someone. It would just be, like, a three-hour conversation where she name-drops, like
every person who's in ISIS.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, there's so many things that are ridiculous about the strategy, but there's also just so many reasons why it's not going to work.
Couldn't be a worse strategy.
The list of people and the amount of money that they have spent in trying to take down the Clintons using this information is long.
Extensive.
And filled with probably hundreds of millions of dollars, and it just doesn't work.
And also, most of it happened when these kids were 1 or 2 years old.
It's not a millennial strategy. It makes about as much sense to get millennials as going around campaigning with Al Gore does. Sorry.
Right.
I said it. I had to say it.
Someone had to.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but he invented it.
Anyway. What is this? I know you are, but what am I trying to say? Like, get the fuck out of here. Bye. Bye.
But also, well, Bill Clinton is not running for president.
That's
noted.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. That's his.
And I think America has pretty much decided
that they
like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Like,
if Bill Clinton did run for president, he would win.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, exactly. But like you said earlier, I mean, if the plan is to try and get women to vote for you by blaming
a woman for her husband's infidelities,
I don't know if that's a winning
strategy. That's not the millennial strategy.
It's the elderly asshole strategy. Yeah,
the old white man strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that actually line of thinking works with older Republican women.
I think it does.
And so they're like, yeah, it's the same thing, right? Just younger. And they're not.
No. And this is like the sort of conversation about both gender and marriage that happens among younger people is so far outside of their like frame of reference at this point that they don't even have the like tools to know what they think.
And I think you're right, though, because I really love to listen to Dr. Laura. I enjoy listening to Dr. Laura on Stars Radio.
We tell our listeners who Dr. Laura is because I don't...
Dr. Laura Schlesinger, right? Do you know?
Yeah.
She's like...
No, I know
she's
her.
She's like a...
You think my mom's going to know her?
I don't know. She's like a... She's a counselor or like a, you know, psychologist or whatever.
We use those terms loosely.
Right. But she's very conservative. And I know for sure that she would probably think that the reason that Bill Clinton was cheating was because Hillary Clinton wasn't taking proper care of him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a line of thinking that's out there.
That's the kind of advice that she gives to people. Like, women call in, and then she berates them for, like, not doing a good enough job being a wife, and it's
I mean, Hillary stood by her man. Awful, but it's she love that? Genius. Should Dr. Lowe
men,
love them?
Men well, only maybe. Cheat if they're not getting it. Yeah. That's yeah. the only
that's the
reason.
Only time.
It's yeah. usually the woman's fault. I'd say.
I mean, always. Yeah. 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 I would say 100% of the time.
And doesn't that make you want to vote for Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That, still didn't get you there. No. But that's because okay. this is also like...
Thought maybe a, I tricked you.
This no. is a bizarre strategy also because it only highlights the degree to which Donald Trump has acted on these behaviors as well. Like, it just reminds us that there's... such a thing as sexual assault, and that there yeah, are like old yeah. white men walking around committing it.
Leave the sexual
like,
assault.
Hillary Clinton
line of
is like so far outside
Donald
of this
Trump.
Conversation when it's coming from Donald Trump's camp that I like can't even with that.
That's why I think yeah. they should have stayed on the don't apologize, full steam ahead with the other shit, and just like try. And listen, obviously, I'm helping the devil here, but the strategy should have been ignore the story, ignore the story, ignore the story.
I don't think they could at the point
do something else crazy. Push the story right. somewhere
maybe
else.
Maybe that.
Because he has that skill. He's
like a savant yeah. at creating a headline yeah. that makes no sense to your brain. Like
also can, sentences.
And sentences.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, a savant at sentences and headlines yeah. that only, make no sense to your brain.
Only bested by Sarah Palin, I think.
Yeah, I think, probably. Yeah, but I think yeah. he has a more sort of sensational, he has a more yeah. gift for the sensational yes. aspect of it. Yes. She's a better gift for word salad. Word.
One of yeah. my favorite moments of this campaign, and it's, you know, a while ago, was when she endorsed him.
Oh, that was such
she
a great
was
quote.
That, like, so good. That paperclip.
Yes, that's right. I think that was like, in Iowa, actually.
It was. Sure. Yeah. I think it was in Waterloo, wasn't it?
And it was the most fucking bizarre thing. Like, I just so much word salad. And you could see also Donald Trump's face. Like, at some point, he realized, like, maybe this wasn't a good idea.
I believe we did a dramatic reading of that quote
yeah,
on this
we did.
Podcast.
We saw her at Politicon yes. this year in one of the greatest speeches that I've ever seen.
It was
seen
a dream. Well, and we figured out what her deal is. She's like the most gifted slam poet in America. It was truly.
But it was words. She was reading from a prompter at that speech. Yeah. It was words that she had
thought
written,
about, written
I would
down
assume herself. And it was one. It was a good 30 minutes. She gave a long speech.
It was
speech,
a long speech.
And it was
in
just
the cadence of a slam poet with the amount of poetic license with the English language that a slam poet might use. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Do you ever do that thing where you take a sentence or something and you translate it to another language and then you translate it back to English?
That's
what it seems
that's
like.
The Sarah
that's
Palin.
What it all seems
but
like.
But she was her speech is so heavy on metaphor, too. Mm-hmm. That, like, it wasn't just that the words didn't make sense. It was, like, following all the metaphors was very complicated, and it led you into, like, bizarre directions. She turned a lot of things into metaphors that you wouldn't have guessed she could have. Like, it was pretty spectacular in a way I couldn't... That is not a joke that I think I really couldn't possibly explain to someone.
We highly
that, like,
recommend seeing Sarah Palin if you can.
Yes. If you can see her speak, it is worth it.
Totally.
But, yeah, I feel like... Donald Trump is more of the sensational version.
Can we talk
of...
about Ken Bone really quick, guys?
Oh, my God. This was a roller coaster, wasn't
Why
it?
Why didn't we lead with Ken Bone?
Well, Brent doesn't understand what the whole Ken Bone thing was about.
I don't... Well, it was so funny because, like, people kept comparing him to, what is it? Oh, you know, Barb from Stranger Things or whatever. Or is that what her name is? And I didn't get that either. I like Stranger Things, and I was so lost in that whole, like, obsession over her. And I didn't
a sweater
get,
guy.
I didn't get this here. I was
I
like...
I feel like Ken Bone looked so much like a character actor that we couldn't help but fall in love with him because he looked like he was supposed to be a sympathetic character
But the problem,
who's hapless in the face of his own silliness.
But the problem with people who turn into lovable internet stars...
is they might be racist, misogynistic pricks.
That's right. Oops. Yeah. Just hit the microphone. Sorry. They don't get properly vetted.
Yes. You can't.
And that is what happened to our friend Ken Bone.
I almost feel bad for the guy.
I know.
He didn't ask for this.
No,
holy
he was
shit.
Just.
No.
He
although
split
he did.
His pants
although he
and
did
and
try to.
A red sweater. Right.
I felt while that... I agree with you, he did definitely try and capitalize on it. And I suppose that's probably a smart thing
who
to do.
Wouldn't?
But he, who
right.
wouldn't? But,
come on, let's be
but,
real.
Yes. I mean, but he knew what his Reddit. Thread hat on it.
I
and like to do a Reddit AMA.
Yeah,
if,
change your name.
Yeah, change your stupid Reddit name.
Yeah.
I would contend that if you are outside of a celebrity spin machine, you might not realize that this is what happens when it hits you until it's too late. Like, I feel like he... Look at Ken Bone. He couldn't have known. Look at him.
Yeah.
He looks like a dope. Like
he does.
It was funny because when we watched the...
And he's an undecided voter.
When we watched the debate, I thought that last question was like, that what? Person...
Well, and
that person was the one I was like, that's
the star.
Yes, and I know. And I had somebody... I didn't know who Ken Bone was, actually. And I had somebody at work the day after ask me about Ken Bone. And I didn't know, it wasn't on my radar that he had turned into a thing yet. And right. I was like, oh, he must have been that guy who asked that last question.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was just the guy in the red sweater who asked a weird question about energy policy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I remember the name just because he was like, dick jokes.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. The guy was unfortunately named red sweater.
Ken Bone is my safe word, guys.
And now he's getting boned.
Sure is. Yeah. Because he has said some unsavory things on Reddit.
What is... I actually did
I
not...
I feel everybody
We
on
are
Reddit
here to tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're on Reddit.
Yes, you're on... Yeah, exactly. But he commented on Jennifer Warren's because, you know, she had her photos hacked and released. And so he had seen those and commented on those. He said maybe she should have been more careful with her pics, but the bad guys are still the ones who sought them out and looked at them. By which I mean guys like me. I saw her butthole. I liked it.
He was really
What's wrong with that?
He was into
It gets worse.
To okay. pregnant women not safe for work.
Yes.
Chat rooms as well. So there were a lot of... He was involved in like pregnant women forums.
Yes. That, pregnant women in swimsuits he liked to talk about.
Which he called beautiful human submarines.
I mean, what in the actual fuck does that mean?
Honestly, like, that's not nearly as bad as I thought this was going to be.
All right, wait.
Hold on.
Come on.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay.
You said
this
Reddit.
This is the beginning.
He committed insurance fraud, too.
And admitted it on Reddit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then he also thought that maybe Trayvon Martin was asking for it.
Okay, we're getting into territory I'm getting less comfortable with.
Here's what he said. It doesn't have to be one or the other view here. From what I've read about the case, the shooting of Trayvon Martin was justified. But from what I've learned of Zimmerman through statements, interview, and behavior, he's a big old shitbird.
So at least he is aware that George Zimmerman is
a
shitbird.
I mean, if you're like a person with eyes, I feel like you have to know that. Bad guy legally kills kid in self-defense, sucks for everybody, including us, due to the media fuckery.
I think that's really well balanced.
This is such a typical undecided voter bullshit. You're undecided about like Trayvon and George
Right, you don't.
Zimmerman.
You think that just being a teenager who's black in the night might make you worthy
about
it?
But that's not what he said. He said the kid was legally killed in self-defense, which is what happened.
Yes, but calling that self-defense
is the definition of self-defense that I think is the question.
I think this is really unfair, Mr. Bone. Honestly, can this go worse?
It doesn't go worse until you remember that he's an undecided voter in this presidential race.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's
I
the
know,
last
but
one.
Like, listen, if you, I'm sure even just on the
Working
show, there are
documents?
Some things.
No,
I don't give a shit.
Well, that I really don't.
Yeah, that's the least.
That I really don't give a shit about that.
I'm annoyed that he's a little bit of a creep, you know, misogynistic creep. I'm really annoyed that he seems to think that Trayvon Martin was somehow committing a crime by walking in the street. I don't care at all if he committed insurance fraud, and I feel like if I found out that everyone at this table committed insurance fraud right now, I would feel exactly the same about all of you guys.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I'm annoyed that he asked such a stupid fucking question in the first place. And how are we going to save coal jobs? And
by having a green energy policy.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Yeah.
You're dumb.
Yeah, but to me, this is just like, this guy is not a celebrity, and you're... I mean, who doesn't have some shit you've written online somewhere that's like,
I don't ever want to be a celebrity.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're just going to have some things, and it's like you dig long enough. Honestly, when you said Reddit, I was like, oh, God, where is this going? And, like, for Reddit, this is PG at worst.
Well, for America, I feel like... Like, Reddit is like a sort of its own ecosystem that if you are outside of...
Yeah. Even
I mean, for maybe
America.
For America at this point. I love, by the way, that his Reddit name is Stan Gibson 18.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
What's that?
It's probably from some show or something.
Is it?
Maybe
I don't know.
Sweater wholesaler.
Sweater, sweater vest show.
Oh, boy.
I feel really bad for the guy, honestly. Like,
I mean, I don't feel...
That thing about
Trayvon... Right, tried to cash in on it, so...
That thing about Trayvon,
he did.
Though.
He was selling those Bone Zone t-shirts.
I don't care about Ken Bone.
But that thing about Zimmerman is, like, really not... He wasn't,
not
like...
Not as salacious as what you were thinking.
He was like,
hey,
listen, this kid got killed. You know, it sucks. This guy's a shithead. Like, he wasn't, like, totally... Pardon me.
Yeah,
but he wasn't totally, like... You know, it was justified, it was self-defense. Like, there was a little of that, but, I mean,
I'm not surprised to have read that from Ken Bone, an undecided voter in this election.
Right.
Who, I think, has been leaning towards Trump of late. But I'm disappointed.
The only shepherds in my book.
Well, after the lamestream media takes
That's
him down
right.
for his Reddit, he's probably going to vote for Trump.
Can you literally bribe someone for their vote? Is that legal?
No.
Definitely not.
It's not legal. That's a definitively illegal thing to do. That's voter fraud. That would be a time that voter fraud would be happening in real.
Yeah, I just wonder. Like, I could totally see Trump being like, I can.
Well, that's... You can... you can bribe someone for their endorsement. I mean, not legally, but you can do it. It's happening everywhere. Yeah. It happens all the time. You can
do it.
Yeah.
Because that's totally like a Trump move. Like, oh, let's get this guy. Like, he's on the fence. He's kind of okay with Trayvon. Like,
right. He seems a little racist.
Yeah, he's like slightly.
Ken Bone sees 15 minutes and...
Yeah, I'm hoping this is the last time.
The end of the Bones.
There are other character actors who can play that guy in a movie. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Like, we don't need...
And, you know, I'd like to also say we're going to have so many fucking Ken Bone Halloween costumes.
Oh, tons.
I don't know what to do with it.
I know. This is why I don't like to dress up for Halloween.
I know. That's the type My of mom, Halloween costume I, that I personally could actually get involved in because it would only involve me getting a red sweater.
You could have a new walking sweater.
Halloween should only be scary fucking costumes. Or like in that realm.
Oh, I disagree. I usually do a political, cutesy, whatever.
Maybe I'll do it. It's not what Halloween... Ken Bone costume.
Yeah. I did see O'Donnell one year. Remember?
Oh, that's good. But that's terrifying. She's totally terrifying.
Yeah, you're doing horror your own way.
I was Statue of Liberty with an "We're Closed" sign.
Okay, I like it.
Last year I was Benghazi, I had a "Hi, my name is Ben" name tag, and then wrapped myself in gauze. I'm also poor. I'm very poor.
These are good.
Yeah, I know these are good, but now you're committed. I know. I don't want to do a Ken Bone. I don't want to do a sexy Bone Zone.
No.
I don't know.
Also, West Hollywood's going to be so rife with those. I can't even.
I need something.
It's going to be horrifying.
Guys.
Yeah. I think there needs to be another holiday of just like dress up.
Halloween's
supposed to be like at least scary or mythical or.
I disagree and think Halloween is entirely about candy, and I want no other part of anything having to do with Halloween. I want free candy. I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great holiday to have your year built around. I want nothing else to do with Halloween. Because I can't deal with being scared.
Well, we're having a Halloween party right up the street. You guys are more than welcome to come through.
Perfect.
Literally, you can walk there.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
You better have a good costume.
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it.
No pressure.
Damn it.
Tweet us your
your suggestions.
I did just buy a new white Ford Bronco, but I don't know if OJ would be inappropriate.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
Stay
when's
with the
too
black
soon? Oh yeah.
But a mask's okay, it's always, right?
I don't think so.
I think masks are okay. From what I've heard.
That's an interesting question. Why are masks okay? But not, well, I guess blackface has a historical.
Yeah, there's the minstrel show.
But I mean, are you essentially like committing modern acts of blackface by wearing the mask? Like, is it sort of like...
No, I don't think... I think the problem is the actual...
Is it stigmatizing in any way that is beyond the actual...
Look at this room. Do we have any idea?
I know.
Let's talk about racism.
Let's move on.
For white people.
Bridgegate.
We can talk about Bridgegate because we have at least one person who was born in New Jersey.
I was born in New Jersey.
Yes. It looks like Chris Christie... might yet get charged.
Well,
here.
I don't think he will because it then goes to the DA that he appointed.
Right, exactly.
So he's not. Yes. But it's. I'm. What I love about Bridgegate is that it never ever goes
never
away.
Ends. Well, and this
he
is
can never catch a break, and he doesn't deserve one.
Well, and a lot of people thought that this was why he actually didn't get picked as vice president because
Bridgegate was never
because
gonna...
we knew that this trial was going to be happening in October.
Maybe. And I would contend that he didn't get picked because he's too much like Donald Trump, and Donald Trump didn't want the competition.
Because David Wildstein, who is also a friend of his, we know, who he appointed to the whatever, you know, the agency that oversaw this, testified this recently that Christie knew.
Yeah.
Which,
of course he fucking
obviously
knew.
Christie, a major artery of New Jersey was clogged.
Yeah.
Who are you going to ask about clogged arteries? Christie.
Right. That guy gets
it. This week, a municipal court judge sent a summons to Chris Christie, and he's going to have to go to court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing Chris Christie in court is something I've only ever dreamed about.
I love Chris Christie. He's one of those political figures that I'm like, I wish you didn't actually run the government and you were just a character on
a
show. Because you're totally like the bad, crooked, mobbed up boss. And I love that
about Trump
him.
Is
so
sort of
Jersey.
Aspirationally mobbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like not even real mob. Yeah. He's like an aspirational asshole.
Yeah, would probably have a Goodfellas poster
he would
somewhere.
He'd be the mob's gimp. Get out of here.
I don't know. Yeah. I could actually see him like losing his temper and his jowls flapping around and being. Like,
I can see almost anyone in New Jersey doing that.
Oh, dirty jurors.
Oh, come on.
Come on, the Manhattan Night.
Chuck was born in Jersey.
I love Jersey.
He's the one who was born in Jersey.
Listen, we also, the other great things came from Springsteen, The Misfits. I'm sure I'd think of more.
If I had more time.
I wanted to say Bon Jovi. Fuck it, I'll throw him in there.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Yeah. If you're committing, you're committing.
For karaoke reasons only.
Fair enough.
Good enough.
Yeah.
In any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
We've done it.
Thanks, guys.
Oh my God. Thank you guys for coming by. This was really fun.
Guys, go get your tickets.
Yeah, please.
Yes, we will post a link to where to get the tickets.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Brown paper tickets.
No, give them the website. Badnews.tv.
Oh, that's an easy one. Yeah. Badnews.tv. That's so simple.
Come and see us if you're in LA, please.
And you guys also have a presence on YouTube and other places where they can catch clips of your show, right?
On badnews.tv.
Perfect. Nice. Yep. Everything. There it is. Right there in one.
Follow us
neat
on Twitter
package.
At Bad News Live. Also Instagram. Yeah. No, is that right?
Sure. You'll
just
find us.
Bad News Google. Comedy. We're not the 70s rock band. That's.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. We have a lot of competition from a lot of things that are generically named the Brain Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, we used for a long time, if you Googled us, it would be like three defunct websites would come up before ours that were just like
doesn't that make you feel
idiot
great about
teenagers.
Your essay?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We finally are on top, you guys.
That's right. Badnews.tv. We're trying to get that SEO. You know,
that's right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Nope. Don't. Okay. Definitely don't want to know. Okay. Well, thank you guys. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, Brain Trust.
As always.
Thanks.
Awesome. With more news about things that are hopefully just funny and not disturbing.
Yeah.
Bye.